in a while, and I started asking him about his kids, and I didn't know, but his two oldest kids became unfaithful. And he said when all was said and done, he was just having conversation with his son about not being faithful. And with tears in his eyes, he told me, he said, I made some mistakes. And he said, what really got to me is when my son told me, Dad, we went through the motions, but we weren't spiritual, Dad. We weren't spiritual. We need to be parents who are spiritual, not just coming to church, but truly loving the Lord. Conversational spirituality, talking about the Lord in our home when they lie down and when they get up and when they're walking in the way. The Apostle Paul said, be imitators of me just as I also am of Christ, and I guarantee you your child will be an imitator of you. Another question, will your child grow up to see a life, grow up to live a life of purity if they see you watching, reading, listening, or saying impure things? Will your child grow up to study God's Word if they never see you studying God's Word in the home? Again, I am not the expert. I have areas that I need to grow in. These are some questions for all of us. Will our child grow up to have Christian friends if they see you making your closest friendships with people in the world? Will your child grow up to place emphasis on worshiping with the saints if they see you making excuses to skip worship service 10, 25, or one-third of the time? Will your child grow up to teach others the gospel if they never see you making efforts to teach the lost? Will your child grow up to be generous to the Lord if they see you spending money only on worldly possessions and just giving God the scraps and not the first fruits of your earnings? Will your child grow up to respect the Lord and the brethren if they grow up hearing you denigrate the preacher or other members of the church? And I think we've seen this a number of times in various families. So I'm going to conclude with this poem, and I know you've probably read it 10 times, but I think it has application to our lesson. God bless the parents who drugged us. The other day, someone at a store in our town read that a meth lab had been found in an old farmhouse in the adjoining county, and he asked me a rhetorical question. Why didn't we have a drug problem when you and I were growing up? I replied, I had a drug problem when I was young. I was drugged to church on Sunday morning. I was drugged to church for weddings and funerals. I was drugged by my ears when I was disrespectful to adults. I was also drugged to the woodshed when I disobeyed my parents, told a lie, brought home a bad report card, did not speak with respect, spoke ill of the teacher or the preacher, or if I didn't put forth my best effort in everything that was asked of me. I was drugged to the kitchen sink to have my mouth washed out with soap if I uttered a profane word. I was drugged out to pull out weeds in my mom's garden and flower beds and cockle burrs out of dad's fields. I was drugged to the homes of family, friends, and neighbors to help out some poor soul who had no one to mow the yard, repair the clothesline, or chop some firewood. And if my mother had ever known that I took a single dime as a tip for this kindness, she would have drugged me back to the woodshed. Those drugs are still in my veins, and they affect my behavior in everything I do, say, and think. They are stronger than any illegal street drug, and if today's children had this kind of drug problem, America would be a better place. Conclusion, Judges 2 and verse 10. All that generation also were gathered to their fathers, and there arose another generation after them who did not know the Lord, nor yet the work which he had done. Friends, of what generation will you raise your children to be? Those that know the Lord or those that don't know the Lord? Thank you for your kind attention. We haven't talked about the plan of salvation tonight, even though the scheme of redemption was mentioned in the prayer tonight. But in Galatians, the third chapter, in verse
26, we read that we have to have faith. It says, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." So we have faith, we believe, we repent, and we're baptized. "There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you were Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." What a glad and joyful promise. And if you're not a Christian, you can be baptized into the Lord tonight and be made one with Him and put on Jesus Christ. The water is prepared. Or if you need to confess your faults before the saints and ask for prayers, we invite you to come now as we stand and sing.